Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. I hope you're having a great day, and thank you in advance for pressing play and taking a chance on this episode. Before I get started, I got a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to start off with some movie reviews. I noticed I haven't done a couple movie reviews in a while, and I've seen two movies recently. I normally put these at the second half, but I decided since last week's episode was a little darker than I normally go, I decided let's start with some movie reviews, because even if I don't like movies, they tend to be still fun to review and stuff like that. Speaking of last week's episode, if you haven't seen, I believe it was episode 129, I did a whole podcast about how I deal with depression, or not how I deal with depression, but what happens when depression takes over me. It is one I'm very proud of, and I want to thank the people who did listen to it. I warned people, if they're not in the right place, you shouldn't listen to it. But a lot of people took the chance on it, and I thank you for that, due to the fact that not only did you take the chance at it, some people actually reached out to me, and it was wonderful to get such feedback on an episode that was just very hard for me to put into words. And, you know, I was worried that I'd come off looking a little crazy in that, but it didn't work that way. And thank you for anybody who reached out or pressed play and that. And I will continue to be as honest as I can in these podcasts. Obviously, I'm not always going to talk dark. You know, I've done lots of lighthearted episodes. I always have some co-hosts show up and hang out with me, and those are usually a lot of fun and stuff. But I will use this podcast sometimes in my darkest hours, due to the fact that I've decided this is the place I'm going to go to just really talk honestly and open. A lot of places I have to watch what I say and stuff, and I'm not saying that I'm going to just be like all edgy and all the time, but yeah, when I really feel I have something to say, I'm going to say it. So anyhow, with that out of the way, grab yourself a beverage, grab a snack, and I'm going to talk some movies that I've seen recently. I got to see two very different movies. Maybe not very, very different. They're both kind of, I don't know, romance movies in some way. The difference between them is one is critically acclaimed and doing very well at the box office, a movie called The Shape of Water. And the other one has done very well at the box office, but is not a critical darling, and that is 50 Shades Freed. And I'm going to talk with both of them. We're going to start with the Oscar-nominated movie first, because, you know, I saw that one first, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. So The Shape of Water, if you're not familiar with it, it is nominated for an Oscar this year. If you're listening to this after the Oscars, it may have won Best Picture, because it is definitely one of the ones that people are predicting have a good shot. I honestly don't think it's going to win, only because there is a lot of science fiction in this, and I don't know if the Academy is ready to go there yet. You know, they've only gone there a couple times. I remember when Silence of the Lambs won for Best Picture, and it was like, wow, a horror movie made it to Best Picture. But they've nominated science fiction before, but I think they're still leery on it. Though I do think this movie has a good shot of Best Director, possibly screenplay and cinematography. I'd love it to win Best Picture, because I have to say Shape of Water is an amazingly awesome film, and I really hope it does really good. It's directed by Guillermo del Toro, and it stars Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, Richard Jenkins, Doug Jones, Michael Strawbarg, and Octavia Spencer. The movie basically is set in the early 60s, and it's basically I won't give away too much, but it's hard not to talk about this movie without giving some. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, you might be a little leery, but I'll do my best to keep the spoilers to a minimum, to basically stuff that was revealed in the trailers. But it's a facility that, a government facility that takes a look at things that are questions that the government is kind of trying to hide from the mass audience. And Sally Hawkins, who's the star of this movie, her and Octavia Spencer play cleaning ladies at the place, and they come across one of the experiments they're working on. Apparently, they have found some sort of alien that they are working on and trying to tame and find out what it's all about. And the lead actress, Sally Hawkins, develops a relationship with this alien being. And this movie is just such a beautiful movie. Guillermo del Toro, he's given us a lot of great films. Pan's Labyrinth. He's given us some Hellboy films. He's also given us, I believe, the original Pacific Rim. And this is back to his thing, and they basically think he's going to have no problem getting the director. And I really hope that they do get Best Picture, because this movie is phenomenal. I've seen a couple of the Best Picture features, and up to this point, I've been really rooting for Call Me By Your Name, which I did a review for a couple of weeks back. But after seeing this movie, I'd have to give the edge to this movie. Now, I've not seen all the things. I know Three Billboards from Ebbing have a good shot at it, too. But to be honest with you, this is such a powerful movie. It's romantic, there's science fiction in it. There's a lot of this isn't like it's almost filmed in a fantasy sort of way, as in almost like a fairy tale, very noir shot sequences. It has a beautiful, as I said, story. There are some really shocking moments in it as far as sexuality goes, even a little bit violent, but not gory violent, but shocking moments of, oh, that's a lot of blood kind of thing. But believe it or not, the story and everything works together. Sally Hawkins is the star of this movie, and I don't know this actress, but I really hope she wins Best Actress. She probably won't, but she's got to be in the running. This is a totally silent performance. She plays a woman who does not have her vocal cords because of a situation. I won't get into it. And so she totally does this with sign language. She does this with just her facial reactions and stuff. And it makes it adds so much to the movie. Like, just the thought that they thought of putting that in the screenplay is amazing, because, yeah, they could have had her talk and stuff like this, but the fact that she can't, and she has to use her body language, she has to use this, and she plays a very straight-laced character, a woman who's, she understands she lives a really average life. She has an, this over-the-top job, because she's a cleaning lady in this military facility, which does things that are top secret that they don't want the rest of the world to see. But her life is basically, she hangs with, her friend, played by Richard Jenkins, and she just tries to live her life. She goes to the movies, she listens to music, she does everything she can to just like get away from her boring existence. Everything's almost scheduled to a T. And when this romance pops up, it's unexpected, because it starts as a friendship but builds into so much more. The thing that's awesome about the screenplay is that it goes further than you'd think. This could have stayed innocent and stuff, but I'm actually shocked at the directions this movie goes, and that's one of the things that I think should give it an edge at the Oscars, because it does take what could have been a formulaic plot and move it, it could have stayed there, but they really take some deeper chances than most films, and that's what I think makes The Shape of Water even more special. Michael Shannon plays one of the keepers of the alien, and this is a really interesting role. Michael Shannon has really proven himself to be one of those actors you can always count on, and he gives an incredible performance. He's not a particularly nice man, but he's got a charisma about him, and he doesn't hide the fact that he's not a nice man, and it's done so matter of fact that makes it really kind of an interesting thing. This movie, if you are more conservative, it's important you know that there's a science fiction aspect to this, and you should know that they do go to places that might be a little, like make you a little hot under the collar, or don't know a nice way to say that you might be squirming in your seat a little bit. But I found they do it all pretty tasteful and actually do it in a really sexy way. The effects are absolutely incredible. The alien effects are so unique and different, although it looks similar to another creature from an old Universal horror movie. But they make it their own, and yeah, you can actually see the hotness that, the Sally Hawkins character kind of sees, on top of the compassionate side of this. It is a wonderful movie. It's still playing in theaters for the next little while, and if it wins some Oscars, maybe more theaters will play it. If not, it'll be on, streaming sites. It'll be on, DVD and Blu-ray soon, but definitely check this one out in the theaters if you can, because it's a larger than life film and it looks absolutely spectacular. And I want to give a shout out once more to there's something that kind of shocked me. I didn't know this movie was actually filmed in and around my hometown, Hamilton. And I didn't notice it really until I saw an obvious scene that was basically Hamilton City Hall. And I was like with my friend and I said, is that Hamilton City Hall? And he said, yeah, didn't you know it was filmed around this area? And I did not know, but they make it look so good, and it's just a great film. So check it out. On a scale of 1 to 5 or 0 to 5, I would give the movie probably, I'm gonna give it 4.5 stars. 4.5 stars, just because I really enjoyed it, and yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Now, my next film, also a romantic movie, but certainly doesn't get the critical acclaim. Now, anybody who is a regular listener to my podcast knows that I have talked about 50 Shades before. I may have reviewed some of the films, but I actually have an episode where I defend 50 Shades because there's a lot of controversy about the movie being basically about like mild porn movies degrading to women. And I have defended this movie every step of the way and even said that it insults me when people say there's nothing to these movies because I feel there's a whole other story that they're not seeing, which has to do with Christian Grey and the abuse that has turned him into the person he is. I have been a fan of all these movies. I've never read the books. And the third one, 50 Shades Freed, brings the trilogy home. If you're a fan of the first two, there's no reason you wouldn't be a fan of this one. If you hated the first two, you're obviously going to hate this one too. If you hated the first two, I'm shocked that you'd even go see this one. Because well, to be honest with you, this series has successfully given us a good, guilty pleasure trilogy. More successful, I would say, even than, my feelings on The Last Jedi. They seem to know what their audience wants from a movie where, The Last Jedi just took liberties and decided to just do whatever they wanted. 50 Shades stays close to it. Now, for those of you who don't know where we are, Fifty Shades Freed takes place right after Christian and Anastasia get married, and life is going well for them, except that there is somebody who is desperately trying to rock their world, and basically we get to see their lives turned upside down with a lot of sexy scenes in between it, and eventually we have them finding out who's responsible for all this and deal with it. And anybody who tells me there's no character development in this is absolutely ridiculous. From the first 50 Shades film to this one, both the main characters, played by, I should say, Dakota Johnson plays Anastasia Steele, and Jamie Dornan plays Christian Grey. Both characters develop throughout both these movies, and anybody who doesn't see that is only looking for the softcore pornography, and it's not even softcore. This is like late night Skinamax from the past kind of stuff. I've been invested in these characters. I know it seems like Harlequin romance type stuff, but there's a market for this because these movies do pretty well. These, like, when 50 Shades Freed opened in its first weekend, the whole trilogy past the $1 billion mark that they made worldwide. That tells you that there is a thing. Harlequin Romance sells tons of copies a year. It wouldn't be in business if they didn't. So there is a basis for these. And, you know, if it's not your thing, that's fine. I actually had a wonderful conversation with a young man who went to see it with his a girlfriend or his. And he actually likes the movies, even though, you know, he gets ragged on for them. But he felt that there was a lot of sexiness to it. He felt there was a lot of character development, and they're fun movies. Yes, there is a lot of moments where they go on holiday and they jet ski, or they go in a private jet, or they do romantic things, or they do sexy things in the red room. But, you know, there is storylines to it, and they're not like these movies. Honestly, yes, they could have been made and put on a streaming service. They could have been released right to DVD. These movies are really weird that they are on the big screen, but since the books did so well, why not? And trust me, the screening I went to, tons of people in the audience, so we're not alone. It actually kind of excites me a little bit. Back in the 70s, I was a little kid, so don't think I was hitting the porn houses. They used to show pornography in theaters where people would go in the theater and watch it. And I remember seeing a reviewer for this film saying, "Why would you want to go into a theater and watch this kind of movie with a whole bunch of people with you?" Well, why not? We were doing it in the past, and you know, I've talked extensively how I feel that they're going to be dealing with, you know, the fact that they're trying to almost outlaw sex in so many ways. They don't even do sex scenes too often in films anymore. They're usually cutaways or it's implied. So, you know, even though you don't see graphic nudity or anything, you do see still enough to titillate you. And they'll probably come out with, you know, a little bit more racier stuff when the Blu-ray and the DVD comes out. I was quite satisfied how the story kind of went. There's no big plot twists. There's no real shocking things. I do like the fact that they do kind of develop Christian Grey's character, because in the first movie, he's just kind of this rich guy who is, you know, he has his thing. He has his fetishes and stuff. He tells her every step of the way that he doesn't do girlfriends and she can back out at any time. I love reading articles about how bad this is series is for women because it treats them like absolute dirt and stuff. And I've also read several articles that say that these movies are more empowering than you know. This movie, everything is consent in this movie. Like, everything in this movie is consensual. There's a scene where Christian is upset with Anastasia, and you know he takes her to the sex room, not the dungeon. That's what I call it, but they call it like the playroom or something. Anyhow, he takes her, and you can tell he's going to use sex to punish her. And then she uses the safe word, and as soon as she uses that safe word, he's already untying her, the whole works. So anybody who thinks this movie is against women is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I am glad that there is a audience for this. I am glad for the people who read the books, who love the movies. I'm glad for the people who claim they don't love the movies but still go see them and rewatch them over and over again, but claim they're only watching it because they're joking. I am glad there's an audience for this because I hate the fact that they're trying to make sex bad and stuff like this, where I think this movie celebrates it, but it also celebrates falling in love. And I don't care. I'm going to defend these movies right till the end. I'm not going to go into why I'm bothered by them, maybe in another thing. I did an episode of that about how, it insults me when people say there's nothing to these movies. They're just, erotica and that's it. When, I have said that the Christian Grey character in the first movie, he is this, rich ego guy that does his thing. Second movie, you see the reasons why he's dark. It's revealed he's been abused sexually, mentally, physically. And then in the third one, he's still dealing with that and trying desperately to overcome that. And anybody who tells me that that is not an issue and that's not a big part of these movies, it just disturbs me in so many ways. I will fight for this movie in so many ways. And I like to see that we finally got a trilogy that is, I think, is a perfect trilogy. Even like Hunger Games and Twilight had their issues as they ran, where they separated the book into two parts. I think they shouldn't have done that. But this did not. They just said, we have three books, we're just going to do three, and that's it. And I'm kind of glad that they know their audience. They never tried to cater to try to win over critics. They never tried to win over other people. That's not what they play. If, like Rian Johnson for The Last Jedi can stand by his product and say, I gave the audience exactly what they wanted, even though everybody was torn on it. Some people loved it, some people didn't. Well, I'm glad I saw a trilogy that stayed true to itself and never had to cater to changing things up to keep it interesting. They know what the audience came for. They gave it to them. And hey, we even get a car chase in this. So, there's lots of different things in this. Anyhow, 50 Shades Freed, not the greatest movie ever, but still a great thing. I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5. And if you love the first two, definitely check this out. But if you want to watch it in the privacy of your own home, power to you. It'll be on DVD soon, and I am definitely getting the Blu-ray because I like to see those extended scenes. Yes, call me a pervert, I don't care what you say. Anyhow, and if you are a fan of 50 Shades series, definitely check out Jamie Dornan and James Corden, who do a great spoof of 50 Shades movies where Christian Grey plays the Anastasia Steele part. And James Corden takes him to his playroom. Absolutely hilarious. Definitely worth a watch. Anyhow, I'm going to take a little break and then I'm going to talk about some other things. And I look forward to talking to you more, but it's intermission time. So we'll be back. And we are going to talk Last Jedi again. I'm not finished with it yet because J.J. Abrams has come out and made a statement. And I love J.J. Abrams, but I need to say something about what he said. And that's coming up next.
Watch for your drive-in theater ads in local publications so you won't miss your favorite stars in top-flight film creations. Now here's the biggest star of all, our old-time great attraction. It's Armor Star, the Frank that gives you eating satisfaction. On sale at our refreshment bar.
Its flavor's so enticing.
It's fresh, it's pure, its tempting taste comes from its subtle spicing. We've popcorn too, all hot and crisp, and drinks of every flavor. We've candy and we've chewing gum, just name the brand new flavor.
But give yourself the finest treat
for tasty, good nutrition. Get Frank's for all your family. Relax!
Welcome back. Hopefully you grabbed yourself a drink or some snacks or ran to the toilet quick. I don't know why. You could just press pause or anything if you're listening to this on iTunes or YouTube. But hey, Anyhow, welcome back. Going to be talking about a couple more things. We'll stay movie-related first, because the other one is pretty heavy. I wasn't going to get too heavy again, but oh well, that's why we started with the movie reviews first. But we're going to stay with movies right now. I did a whole episode on my feelings of The Last Jedi for Star Wars, and you can go back and listen to that if you're interested. I wasn't really going to talk about it ever again. I didn't want to become one of those obsessed people. But guess what? Just when you think you're out of it, they pull you back in, like, you know, Al Pacino says in The Godfather. I think that was Al Pacino. I haven't seen those movies in a while. Basically, recently, J.J. Abrams came out with a statement that said that the people who had problems with The Last Jedi hate women. This is a pretty bold statement. And yeah, I can understand where he comes off from that, because there is... When I was doing a lot of research on The Last Jedi, I listened to a lot of negative reviews, positive reviews, and I did happen to see a lot of reviews that emphasized the fact that women were ruining the Star Wars universe. And I didn't agree with those at all. But the fact that JJ grouped all of the Star Wars fans who had problems with The Last Jedi as women haters, that I did have problems with. And I wanted to talk about that because I don't believe that's right. Now, I'm a huge J.J. Abrams fan. I loved what he did with the Star Trek movies. I loved stuff that he did in Lost. I liked Super 8. I liked lots of things he did. I loved Star Wars The Force Awakens. So when I woke up to read that J.J. thinks we're all women haters just because we don't like the way things went. First of all, if you listen to my review of Star Wars Last Jedi, there is a lot of stuff that I didn't like in that movie that had absolutely nothing to do with women or women characters. So the fact that JJ would just group us all together makes him no better than all the people that, you know, are basically, you know, they are trying to defend themselves against. You know, they're saying, you know, like, we just stereotype everybody. They're women haters. Well, I'm not a woman hater at all. I hate when, you know, they write women a bad way. But Star Wars was one of my first introductions to women. And Princess Leia, you know, yeah, I was a fan of hers. But even at a young age, I knew there was not a lot of women in the Star Wars universe. And I didn't like that. I always thought, how come there's only one woman? And, you know, they'd maybe throw in Mon Mothmore or Aunt Beru or, you know, some lady alien that's at one of the bars. Even as a kid, I knew there should have been more women in the movie. So, you know, I had no problems with that. In the 90s, even before the prequels came out, my friends and I did a role-playing game based on Star Wars, and I ran it. And the lead character was a female named Karen that had powers. And we created, it took place three generations after the original Star Wars. Yeah, I'm coming off as a little bit of a geek here now. Oh, my role playing, but you know, I'm proud of it. And basically we did it like three generations after the original movies. We put it further enough away so we didn't, if they did continue making movies, we'd still be out of the way. And besides the lead character being Karen, we created many, many positive women because we always knew that there needed to be more positive women. Now, when Force Awakens came out, yeah, I complained that Rey was a bit of a Mary Sue, but I liked the character Rey. I liked that she was well written. I liked that she had a great, interesting story. I like the way she worked with a lot of things. So yeah, I did have problems with the fact that she didn't seem to make any mistakes, but I had no problems with Rey, and I had no problems with a lead female being. Even being a fan, not a fan of Rogue One as much, I had no problem with Jyn Erso as the Thing. I thought she was a little young for my liking in the Thing, but I liked the actress. I thought she was lovely and stuff. What I don't like is in the new movie, You know, I'm not going to go and talk about all the bad things in it, because there were so many bad things that I didn't like in it that had nothing to do with women characters or anything. But the two new women characters they added, which was, you know, the Rose character and the Laura Dern character, yeah, I did have problems with Rose. I had no problems with her, but as the character developed and she constantly did things that pissed me off, I did not like her. I actually liked the Laura Dern character until I realized that her ego kept her from actually, kept her from literally not telling Poe the problem, and got a lot of, here's some spoilers, by the way, I should just say, and got a lot of Rebel Alliance people killed. Like, a lot. I can't help commenting that if she just shared the thing, that they would have no problems with that whatsoever. So anyhow, but I was really pissed off that JJ said, because I have watched a lot of movies and read a lot of stories with, you know, strong women. And when I do my role playing and storytelling, women are a big part of it, you know. And the fact that he would just group us all as women haters, yeah, there is a movement out there who, there are women haters that do watch Star Wars and think there's way too much women and they're taking over the story. But no, I know there's a lot that aren't either. I'm one of them. And I'm really offended by that, that they would group us all together. And quite frankly, I just don't appreciate it. I love JJ and I look forward to what he brings to the new movie. Actually, I don't really, because at the moment, I really don't care what happens in number 9, because that movie jaded me. But it wasn't because of the women characters. You know, I had problems with them, but there were so many other things. Women characters have nothing to do with the Luke Skywalker stuff that I didn't like, or some of the ways the plot unraveled and stuff. You know, how they used Snoke, or just got rid of every positive thing that J.J. Abrams brought. It was a bold statement, and I was not a fan of it, you know. If they brought on a whole bunch of new characters that were actually well-written, I don't care if they're women, men, anything. I want to see well-written characters, and that's not what we got in Last Jedi, my opinion. You know, there's a lot of people who love it. But anyhow, I just needed to address that, because I hate the fact that I was grouped into something and somebody saying, you know, you hate women if you didn't like The Last Jedi. Could it have something to do with maybe I don't like bad writing? Maybe I don't like directors who feel that they have to basically unravel everything that they did that was positive in the first movie to set their claim. That has nothing to do with women. So please do not group me into that, because I love women and I love seeing women characters portrayed. I like seeing strong actresses playing them. I don't even mind flawed characters. Christ, I watch Gone with the Wind. There is no more flawed character than Scarlett O'Hara. And I still vote for her because Vivian Leigh did such a great job writing her. I like to see characters with problems and issues. So, sorry, JJ, do not agree with you on that. Yes, there are a lot of women haters that did not like The Last Jedi, but we're not that, and the fact that you grouped us all together really pissed me off. They're really making it hard for me to want to buy tickets for Episode 9. I like JJ, so I'll obviously give it a chance. I'm also a big Star Wars fan, but stop this. Stop this ridiculousness, you know? You know, if you're happy with how The Last Jedi went, that's fine. But don't try to put it as we all hate women. All right. I'd say I'm getting off my soapbox, but I'm going to just get right back on it. Within the last week, a major thing happened. There was a shooting at a Florida high school, Stoneman Douglas High School. A gunman came in and basically killed 17 people, put a lot of people in harm's way. And it was a real tragedy. It happened on Valentine's Day. And, you know, it's still, even though these shootings are happening more and more in the States, to not be devastated by each one is difficult. I don't think they should just be like, oh, another one, you know, big deal. People lost their lives, people whose lives were just starting. There were teachers, students, so many people, and that's not even counting the people who are still fighting with the traumas that they saw that day, the ones that are still in the hospital fighting for their lives, the people they left behind. But that's not what this is about. What this is about is how it saddens me that when I go onto social media, there used to be a time when people would be like, I'm so sad for what just happened in Florida. I'm so sad for the losses, you know. Thoughts and prayers, you know. I know people hate that term. But the problem is now I don't even see that anymore. I don't see a couple of days of mourning. Within hours of the shooting, I saw people talking about gun control. I saw people talking about mental health issues. Not many. I saw people pushing their agenda. I did not see people who were feeling bad for the people who just lost somebody, and then if they went on their social media, all they would see is, America's got to do something about this. It's a no-brainer. There has to be something done with it. Whether they change the gun laws, whether they deal with mental health and why this is happening. They have to deal with this. But what saddens me is the reason things like this is happening is because there's no empathy. I know you posting 2 hours after a shooting about how you feel that the gun control has to be done. I know you feel that's empathy, and it is. I'm not doubting that. But honestly, you can't wait a couple of days when we can talk about it. Yes, there needs to be talk. There needs to be talk. There needs to be more than talk. There needs to be action. But think of the people that were involved. The people that were... There is no empathy anymore. You know, I saw a meme that basically showed like how, you know, we... Thoughts and prayers. Then we talk about it. We discuss it on Facebook. Then we forget about it in a couple of days. And then we have another shooting. But the problem is we don't have that mourning period anymore. People are just so quick. The most sensitive people I know were posting stuff about, you know, some people were even writing stuff like, Dear America, could you please talk about gun control? That, you know, honestly, yes, thoughts and prayers may not do anything. But do you literally go into funerals of, like, say, somebody who just lost a loved one or a child, and do you not say, I'm sorry, all my condolences? Or do you just go in and say, you know, that cancer really sucks. It sucks they died. No, you give your thoughts, you give your prayers, and they may not do much, but you know what? We still have a mourning period. We still should respect the people that have died and the people that were left behind to have to deal with this shit. These people shouldn't turn on social media and deal with it. And you know what? If they post stuff about gun control, which I did see, they have every right. They've just lost people. They've just seen this thing happen. But people who are sitting comfortable in their fucking chairs who are saying, I'm going to go find a nice meme about statistics about thing, and I'm going to post it, and that'll be what I do today. Why don't you just post a fucking thing about, you know, mourning somebody, letting these people die? You lose a child? Do you want me to post on your Facebook? Here's some statistics about leukemia. No. You don't want to see shit like that. What do you want? You've dealt with those statistics and stuff like that. And I'm not saying we don't need to talk about it, but we should be talking about it a couple of days after the fact. Wednesday was when people died, and I started seeing people pushing their agendas. And whether that's, you know, God's not in school, no. I don't care if it's the right wing, the left wing. I saw people pushing their agenda immediately. This happened on Valentine's Day. We should have had a couple of days of finding about who the victims are. It took me 2 to 3 days to actually see memes posted, and there wasn't many, about the faces of the peoples whose lives have changed, the names of the people they had left behind. because there were so many people making these memes about, well, Florida, just another average day in America. Unbelievable. Happened on Valentine's Day. We shouldn't have started posting that kind of stuff until the weekend, at least. We should have been getting to know the people who are fighting for their lives, caring about the people, but we don't do that anymore. And you know what? That sends a worse signal, because there's lots we need to talk about, okay? Yes. You know, a terrorist does one of those drive things where they drive into a crowd, you know? And we talk about the terrorists, but, you know, here we talk about the gun. We don't talk about the person pulling the trigger. What could we have done to stop this from happening? And yes, there's a lot of guns out there around, but the truth of the matter is there's always been a lot of guns in America, but the shootings have just gotten big. Maybe that has something to do with the way our society is dealing with people with mental health issues. I discussed it last week. Mental health issues. People keep constantly saying we got to talk about this, but we never do. I see people posting stuff about how we need to talk about mental health issues. And then the next week when this shooting happens, not once do I hear, we really should look into how we could have avoided this young man from shooting up his classmates. Because I'll tell you what, because there's no empathy, well, not real empathy, just that empathy of I got to push my agenda to let people know how I feel, because this shooting in Florida was all about me and I've got to make this all about me. But what I would like to have seen is like a little compassion for the people that are dealing with this. I would have liked to see all those people who post mental health things say, how could we have dealt with this Nicholas Cruz, who was the one that did the shootings? That's definitely mental health issues. I don't care what you fucking say. But when the next shooting could happen anytime. And come on, it's America. I won't lie. Yes, we should be talking about, we should always be talking about gun control, all that kind of stuff, mental health. But when you see social media and people see no empathy for the students, when they don't start posting stuff on social media about the victims, the people that were left behind, the people that were fighting for their lives, the people that are going to spend days trying, weeks, months, years, trying to get this image out of their head. The problem with that is the next person who's shooting is now looking at social media and they realize that all the attention is on the gunman. It's not on the victims anymore. It's not on the people they left behind. When somebody sees that and you see another loner or somebody who wants to make a point, he's going to realize that I can finally be invisible anymore. And I can guarantee you that within 24 hours, the next gunman has probably been plotting their next thing because they realize there's no empathy for the victims anymore. The only thing we talk about is the guns. The only thing we talk about is the gunman. So yes, they're going to see what an impact that makes. And yes, I can make a difference. They're not seeing I can make a difference other ways. A teacher posted a meme about how the fact they meme that they basically watched, they did a 2-minute silence in honor of the Stoneman Douglas High School shootings. In that 2 minutes, she saw groups of kids talking to one another. They saw people texting. And they say, if you think gun problems are our only problem, we're seeing a lot of kids that don't have empathy. Now, I'm not saying all of them. There's a lot of kids that have empathy out there. There was a lot of stuff. Sadly, I had to look a lot for it because they don't post it. They'd rather post gun statistics rather than posting thoughts that young people want schools, you know. But we need to do something. Yeah, we need to talk about it. But let's have a mourning period first. Let us have a mourning period. And if I use the word thoughts and prayers, excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't have the power to stop the gun control in America. Okay? Yes, maybe if we all unite and deal with it, it can happen. But anyhow, I'm just a little tired of the fact that we don't mourn anymore. We're just anxious to post our agenda. I'm done. I wasn't going to get so heated, but I did. So I apologize if this did get a little edgier near the end, but, you know, I have to get things off my chest sometime, and this is my forum. Anyhow, we're going to wrap this a little shorter since the last couple have been a little longer. I love talking with you. I'm going to look for more things to talk about. Some of it will be fluff. Some of it will be important. Some may be movie reviews. But I will look forward to seeing you again next week. And thank you for tuning play and joining me. And I'll talk to you very, very soon.